It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here to declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, from freedomsphoenix.com studios here in Phoenix, Arizona. And I promised you in the last hour that I'd make sure we got to this NSA thing. And I wanted to tell you about this, and then there's some other issues I want to cover again in this week of introduction. The NSA, there was an article that we had on Freedom's Phoenix, and it was stripped of the internet, and I can't find reference to it anyway. I was looking for it again. It might be back up. Months ago, I was looking for it for a speech, and I couldn't find it. But I remember it went like this. You have all of this data that comes in. This one guy I knew, he had a ferret magazine on his counter. He just had a bunch of ferret magazines sitting on his nightstand or his end table there. And I go, "What the heck is this? You don't have a ferret." He goes, "Yeah, but, you know, the NSA doesn't know that. You know, he just thought that by throwing out a subscription to some crazy magazine like that would just, you know, flip his profile into Lord knows what. He was just having fun, you know. He just wanted to tell that story." I'm like, okay. Well, what happens is, what if you subscribe to Blue Press, which is Dylan reloading, you know, bullet ammunition reloaders, that the Blue Press comes in? You know, does that put you on some kind of list? Does that add a little line of data to your profile? You know, what if you subscribe to freedomsphoenix.com? What if you go on YouTube and you're watching a bunch of them revolutionaries doing stuff? What if you got a Ron Paul bumper sticker on your car? What if that? You know, these are the kind of things that, you know, filter in. But how do they discern this information? How do they take it, and what do they do with it? You've got this enormous amount of data, and as they increase their server farms, they have all this memory. It's not for lack of what? Money, you know, desire, time, resources. They're going to do whatever they're going to do. You know, they're going to get all this information. We got to do something with it. You know, where's our opposition? You know, where's the core? Where's this movement? Are there individuals? If we take them out, you know, will that cure it? If we assassinate JFK, are we done? We get our wars. We can do what we want to do. He's not going to disintegrate the Federal Reserve or CIA. They're threatening our, you know, authority. So we'll take care of that. What about Martin Luther King? What about his brother Robert? What about? In other countries, assassinating guys left and right. And if we can't do that, and that's getting too obvious, then we undermine the regime doing whatever. So what do we do? You know, how do they determine who that person is? Is there a person? You know, in Iran, they had this one young lady. I can't remember the name they had for her. I think it was, you know, it translated to the soft voice. And she was assassinated, shot in the street. Her father sat there and watched her die. It was all over YouTube. These young guys, she was kind of the voice, the Twitter voice of this thing, you know. And you go, well, who did it? Did her side do it to make her a martyr? Did the bad guys do it and not understand what was going on? I mean, the end result was, you know, send the young people into, oh, my goodness, are you sure you want to play this game? So how do they determine all this information that comes in? And I want, in the way that it was described, I'll get into when we come back exactly how they take this data, put it in so an individual can look at it and determine where the marks are. I pinky swear. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I am the man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my day.
You know, we could just let that song go, man. I really like that song. He's like, come, it's going to the end. Come in. I go, yeah, you didn't get to the good part. Where's the chorus? Yeah, I recut that one. That was fun. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? That was a good movie. I get right to this NSA thing here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. And, you know, we've had people, they ask me, they go, declare our independence with you? Do I have to do it with you? Can I do it by myself? Yes, you can. And you know what? Oh, you don't even need a government form. You just do it. It's in between the ears. It's in your head, man. Well, one thing that they want to get inside your head is, and if they can, they are. I mean, I'll tell you right now, if you go to freedomsphoenix.com, you'll look at the top navigation bar up there, right below the top banner ad there, and it says archives. And you go into the archives, and it'll say contents by subject. Now, what you're looking at is you'll see all the different categories that we put the stories in, so it's organized by category, and then it's in chronological order. Like, you know, we had the Bush administration, you go to the Obama administration, you can go to police state. You go to police state, you go scroll down, you hit P, and it'll go into the P's there, and you go to police state. In there, you'll see where they're actually reading your brain waves. I mean, they want to read your emotions at least, and they get emotions, and they start getting actual thoughts and deeds and so on. And it's just, you know, it's like pre-crime. You know, we say you're going to do it. You know, so, you know, that's like doing it. And you're mad at a TSA official. Heck, everybody be in jail. You know, we want to do a skit, or you're in the airport. You see people from like the waist up, and then all of a sudden they bend down and they're gone, and they come up. They bend down, they come up. They bend down, they come up. They're moving their luggage a foot at a time as they're going through that TSA line. Sit there and watch this. I'm like, oh, this is so comical. And when they get all this information that they'll add to your profile, the magazines that you have, the bumper stickers that you got, the people you associate with, whose home you were at when you used your computer on their Wi-Fi, you know, all this stuff, then all of a sudden they start, you're going through an airport and they're scanning your emotions. They got the RFID chip in your passport. We had a story up a couple days ago. This guy got a reader. He goes to San Francisco and Fisherman's Wharf, and he starts downloading all the RFID information of people that had passports. And he's showing them. Yep, see, take a look. YouTube. You know, you want to know how this is working? Yeah, we can get all kinds of ID and information on people and whatever, and where they're from and whether they're worth robbing or not. You know? You know, this guy, he's a gazillionaire, man. We follow that bad boy back to his hotel room. You know, so this is the kind of stuff that's happening. What do they do with this information? So imagine this. I mean, how many smart government employees you think there are? Now, I mean, it's limited, I can guarantee that. So they have these hundreds of millions of people. And then, of course, if they got the United States, they're not going to limit it to that. You know, these guys go, oh, we're just going to take care of, surveil people around the world, not American people. Then they start surveilling American people and to think that they're not going to include in that database every human being on the planet. Of course, if they can, they are. Well, this is how they do it. One of the ways that, you know, I've become exposed to. All this data comes in, and they have to put in some kind of a threat. They don't have, you know, 27-year-old Harvard grad sitting there reading everybody's profile and go, oh, this guy. You know, it has to have some kind of physical manifestation of it. So you'll sit there and you look at a graph or a wall chart or a whatever, and it gives you a 3D topographical kind of map. So let's imagine you're looking at a 3D topographical map, like you're flying Google Earth. You're going through and you're seeing the highs and lows and valleys and so on. So you'll see what they'll plug in a thread into a geographic area. And they'll say, okay, United States or the world or this city or, you know, the president's going to go visit somewhere to do whatever. Well, they put this grid down there, and it'll have like little peaks and valleys, and you'll have this one guy, ooh, little red peak right there. You know, who's that guy? You know, let's go check him out. And they start and they look at it and they say, okay, we're going to evaluate him, see what kind of magazines he subscribed to. Does he own a gun? Has he said bad things? Has he written letters to the editor? That was one of the ways they used to do it. It used to be all the information that was in newspapers. Yeah, you remember that? Stories that go, yeah, he wrote a letter to the editor 4 years ago where he said, you know, this one thing. That's how they get this kind of information. Now you watch Enemy of the State with Will Smith, you know, and that's old news, man. They're way past that. So what happens is they take this information and it manifests itself in some kind of peak. So imagine you're looking at this 3D holographic image or something. You got these little peaks out there and they go look. They go look, you know, and I realized, once I realized what was going on, I could see I was way too far in. I mean, you know, way too many numbers, way too much information out, even on the internet, all this stuff. You know, with these young guys now, they're doing their best not only to keep themselves off the grid, but kind of, you know, muddy the grid. You know, they put all kinds of different, you know, get ferret magazines or whatever, okay? So the thing is that you had this information out, and I realized, I'm going, wow, man, if you're going to be an activist, and, you know, I'm on the list. I mean, I can't keep track of how many lists. The first, you know, MIAC report kind of thing from the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, they had this militia thing back in the mid-90s, and we had a pack here for a concealed carry initiative deal we were doing, and I was on top of their list, top of the list. Woo-hoo, Sheriff Rapallo called me, Ernie, you're on top of the list. I'm like, yay, I made it. You know, so this has been going on for a long time. FBI had their trifold thing. We're the ones that exposed that. Somebody came to us, a posse member of Arpaio, came to us. This is 94. Came to us with this trifold brochure that some FBI agent had done here, sent it to the sheriff's department, and they put it on their little community rack out there. So when the posse guys are going in doing whatever, they saw this, pulled it out, read it. Oh, if you're a Christian, you're on the list. You know, it's kind of like your Ron Paul bumper sticker days kind of deal. So they go, oh, heck no. And we publicized it. You know, this is back when you first started. You still had faxes you were dealing with. And we got this stuff out and everything, had some fun with it. But we didn't take it seriously other than it represented their mindset. They're just using this as an excuse. You know, we have, there's another long story with that. I can tell you all kinds of background stuff. But it comes down to this. When they started examining these people and they go to Ernie, you know, I think, well, you're safer on top of the list. If you're going to be on the list, you're safer on top of it. Now, it's a little bit more difficult for them to just come after me if you're not advocating violence. You're not doing, I'm the love-illusion guy. You know, I'm just a, you know, free yourself between the ears. The other stuff just kind of takes care of itself. Now, what happens is they'll look at it and they'll go, well, he's not directly threatening. Yeah, he has guns. Yeah, he does this. Yeah, you have a case for him. Yeah, but he's not really a threat. He's going. So you get so many people like that. And this Ron Paul Revolution thing, this Lovevolution the last couple of years did exactly that. And they tried it with this MIAC report thing. They're going, look, these guys are threats. Really? So they go and they look and they're like, well, maybe not them individually, but the whole movement is a threat. So they have to redial their threat level. So what was a peak, you know, 10 years ago is now the baseline. Now they have to get peaks above that. Heck, you have the American people is what, 15% of, above Osama bin Laden as a threat to the man? You see my point? You know, we are their threat. They are. You think the Patriot Act was to protect the American people from, you know, the Islamo-fascist terrorists, whatever label they put on them? It was to protect the government, the establishment, the empire from us. It was always about that. You know, hate crime legislation. I was watching television last night. My son was in there watching South Park. You know, South Park is irreverent as heck. It's these fifth graders, you know, the cheesy animation, as political as you can imagine. It's where they get their news, and they had one of their little friends, Cartman, got arrested for a hate crime. And it had these kids came into the governor's office for a pardon, explaining how hate crime separates people. Any violence is a hate crime. You don't go, why, you got hate crime? What is that? That's, you know, and they made this great argument, and the governor goes, well, that's the best presentation I ever heard. Well, here you have Trey Stone and Matt Stone, Trey Parker, I think is what it is. They're the ones that do this. And they've done other movies and stuff. And they have fun. And they're just, you know, young, freedom kind of oriented guys that use animation. And you get that a lot in Family Guy and The Simpsons. You want to know where this kind of freedom oriented, it has to be cartoon characters or they don't allow it. Why? What are they afraid of? Now, it's amazing they even get it out. Family Guy, I think, was the only series that, you know, that was canceled. And they brought it back, an animated series. It came back. It was so popular. And the reason, a lot of people, they don't understand why. There was a series we'll spend some time on. It was called Firefly. Firefly was it was a short-lived series. It had only 13 episodes made. They aired 10, I think, something like that. They canceled it, and it was on Fox, and they just went, oh, heck no. And what it was, it eventually became a movie, Serenity, that was so popular that this series at the Universal came out, and they made a full-length movie. And it was the director, producers, Joss Whedon, the guy that does Buffy the Vampire Slayer series, and he did that, and he tried to keep him, and he wanted to do a show that he wanted to do. And it was so popular. The reason it was popular and had a fan base that got a movie made out of it with all the clamoring they did on the internet was because it was libertarian. It was all this against the man stuff. And a lot of people that watched it, they didn't know it. We did a show on it. The internet accessed our show, exploded. It was amazing. These guys, and I knew it would. And I'm going, you guys know why you like this thing? And you know why Fox killed it? We're being programmed. But the entire freedom movement and, you know, all of us, you, us, this next generation, we need to understand that we have a lot more in common and where the real enemy is. And that's what we're going to try and do here. We're going to try and put a focus on, you know, where is the problem? And most of the time it's us, because they'll give us what we ask for. You know, it won't be real, and they'll sugarcoat it, and they'll put a nice face on it, and, you know, show you some, you know, some nice legs, maybe some, you know, flowing hair and whatever, and a, you know, white smile. But, you know, I mean, really? Seriously? That's all we got? So I want to make sure that you guys understand that we're in this together, and there's a lot that can be done, and there's a lot of resources. Go to freedomsphoenix.com. Check it out. You'll see how you can participate, too. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
God knows I want to break free.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, we're back here in Phoenix, Arizona, in freedomsphoenix.com studios. Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, each and every weekday, Monday through Friday, 11 to 1 p.m. Central Time. And that's daylight savings. And we're in Arizona, we don't change. So we're going to get some times messed up here. Man, that has been a pain in the butt. We stay the same. Everybody else changes. We think you guys should just stay the same. Now, what I wanted to make sure we got into in this segment is there is... Yesterday, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. I had dinner at Benihana's with my family. My daughter and her husband took us there, and we had a good time. And there was a couple across from us that were from Mexico. Now, they had moved to Portland, Oregon, and they came to Phoenix. And she is works for, I don't know if I should give out the name of the bank. Well, their initials are Wells Fargo. Then they had the other gentleman work for a translating company, where he translated, you know, CEOs talking to each other and such. Now, we were talking about the economy, and we started getting in, and I was very curious of how it is in Mexico, in a poor country like that, you know, how the poor, or people, families, how they organize themselves. And she goes, you know, that's a good point. She says, in Mexico, we're so used to the economy going up and down and being bad and everything, we're just always prepared for the bad. So it kind of evens out. But it's going to be different. You know, here in the United States, you're not used to it. You know, you don't have chickens. They have chickens. Everywhere is chicken, 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 chicken. You know, you got protein, you got eggs, you got, you know, chicken, you know, to eat. They grow their own vegetables. They know that if they're going to survive, they have to supplement their own nutrition. You know, and you know, we have ads on this network, you know, talking about getting heirloom seeds. You know, it's not even really food anymore. And we knew this when we were kids. Oh, this one, oh, this is a big, giant red apple. You know, was, you know, you got to call the doctor every day, but, you know, for those apples, but, you know, but they party. So this is, you know, where we're at now. We have a friend here, a gentleman, he works for Intel, and his wife, they have a small young daughter, 5 years old. And they have a nice small home, you know, they're upper income, but they know. So he put, here in Arizona, he put rain gutters on his house. So he channeled it into a cistern, and he wanted to be able to have water. He has the money. He put up a solar panels up. Now he knows it's going to take 10 years for them to pay for themselves. That wasn't really the point. I want to have power. I have power, you don't. Life sucks for you. Okay, then you have backyards like an orchard. He's got all kinds of citrus and fruit trees and everything, and started doing some gardening. My wife and I last fall, you know, October, November, we started getting serious, you know, doing some research. We were doing stuff on Freedom's Phoenix. We created a category, food. If you go to freedomsphoenix.com on the navigation bar up there, you'll see archives. You hover over archives, it gives you a drop down. You can get the newsletters that go out every day as archived there. And the second option is you have contents listed by subject. In that subject line, you go down to food. You go to food, and then there's food recipes. You know, we took our eggs, made a big deal out. We made mayonnaise. You know, we make our own mayonnaise now. Not that big a deal. You know what mayonnaise is? It's like, you know, olive oil, eggs, and, like, lemon juice or something. I mean, that's it. I go, heck, man, if I'd known that, it was health food. Slap that sucker on my burger, man. You know, I'm getting some olive oil and eggs. Can't get enough mayonnaise, especially if you don't have all the other crap in it. Now, if you don't put any preservatives in it and so on, it only lasts like a week. So you make, one egg worth at a time, and you just, you know, have fresh mayonnaise all the time. But you see, it takes work for you to be able to get the right kind of nutrition, and you can supply it yourself. Cucumbers, I got cucumbers last me. Tomatoes will do the same thing. We did the hanging tomatoes once. We did this. The hanging tomatoes is kind of, it works good in the winter months, but here in Arizona, the sun just beats them up so much that it's hard to hang them here in the summer months. But we've done corn, we've done watermelon, cauliflower, broccoli, lettuce, lots of lettuce, all this kind of stuff. So our salads come from our garden. We feel better. We're healthier. Every morning I have either bacon and eggs, or I have with our eggs, or I have a smoothie drink, you know, vitamins and some proteins and stuff, and she puts a couple of eggs in there for my. So we're living better. You know, I'm losing weight, you know, we're starting to be more conscious of our health over the last year, and it has changed the speed of your thinking, how you feel. You know, do you get sick as much? You know, because their food now is not really food. I don't know what it is. You know, it's keep your body moving kind of stuff. But you know, the diseases that we're having is coming from a lot of things. We'll be having experts in talking about vaccinations. You know, I have a grandchild going to be born here within the next month. And we've supplied them with a lot of information. Man, do not get these vaccinations, man. There's stuff in there for long-term problems. Because there are people in charge of this kind of stuff, have the ability to influence what goes into our body at every level. And we're under attack. I mean, it's not that complicated. Do I got to go after them and do all this? Yeah, you know, eventually that'll happen. But the first thing I got to do is I got to worry about surviving it. You know, there's going to be a before and an after, you know, and I tell you, there's one thing, you'll hear me say this a lot, too. It won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. Overnight, you are going to all of a sudden wake up the next day and go, what the heck just happened? Where are we? Well, I want to make sure you survive it. You stay tuned. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Ernest Hancock, and declare your independence, and we'll help you.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Hey, welcome back to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in FreedomsPhoenix.com studios in Phoenix, Arizona. And one thing I wanted to make sure we expanded on, but I wanted to start hearing from you. It's time for you guys to start calling in. I talked enough. 1-800-313-9443. And this is what I want to talk about. What are your preparations? You know, we started this last year. We started experimenting. My sons and my wife went out and built a chicken coop out of 2x4s, chicken wire, and plywood. Put it in the backyard. Now, we live in Central Phoenix. You know, 12th Street in Bethany. If you looked on a Google map and put that in there, we're down the middle of Phoenix. So it's, we have about, it's not real large, probably 1,500, 1,700 square foot home. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath with an extra enclosed kind of garage area. So I don't have a garage. Got another bedroom, but anyway, I want my garage. So what happened was we have a, you know, kind of a medium-sized front yard. It's probably, you know, 20 feet to the sidewalk, and it goes, you know, 60 feet, you know, wide. So it's kind of small. And I was thinking of using it as a garden. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. In the back, you know, we have a yard. We got the sheds back there and the storage and a canopy, you know, where we have our patio furniture and such. But most of it is, oh, and we bought a, this year we don't have a swimming pool, but what we did is we went and got an above ground pool. It's 5,000 gallons, like 16 feet across, 4 feet high. It's a nice sized pool. My wife got it on Craigslist for $60. You know, somebody going through foreclosure or whatever, you go on Craigslist, man, I tell you, there's anything you want's there. People are selling stuff. Well, for $60, we got this nice pool that has, you know, it's a filtered pump and vacuum and all the goodies. And it's nice, but we needed water storage. We had that thing for probably 6-7 months, you know, all up on the side of the yard because, yeah, we didn't feel we needed it. It started getting warm. Like, that's time to put the pool up. And we use it. We have fun with it. You know, it's nice to cool off. But the main thing is you need water. They turn off the water here in Arizona, man. You're going to FEMA camp number whatever. Can I please have a drink, sir? So then you have the other things that you need is food. So we started planting a garden in the back. We got heirloom seeds. We started experimenting with them. We got food heirloom seed packs, you know, for, you know, you have enough to do a certain amount of area. So we looked at all the stuff online. We did some research. We ordered various different things. We even got Ezekiel grain mix, you know, that we put into Mylar bags. And then we found on Craigslist for $20. Couldn't believe this. For $20, we got over 20 of these big 55-gallon plastic drums that they used to transport tomatoes, I think it was. And this farm had them. They were just selling them. So we got them. We're giving them. A bunch of our friends had them. We take and put this Ezekiel mix, and we seal it in a you know, with an iron, you know, in these Mylar bags. You put a little what do they call it? Diatomaceous earth or something. What it is just ground up old fossil shells or something, and it causes the bugs to die because they dehydrate or whatever. It's a physical thing. It's not a chemical. So what happens is we put those in with the bags. We seal them up. We go to these drums, we put them in there, they're dry, they're sealed, they're ready, they're, you know, got them, done, good. Then we had our canned, freeze-dried meats. We got some protein. Then we get some canned goods, some other stuff we want, got to have enough peanut butter and jelly. You know, we start accumulating this stuff, rice and grains. Remember when there was a rice shortage? We were at Sam's Club, you know, you can only get one bag at a time. So we're going, wow. So we started stocking up on food because I think food is going to be, if I had the choice between silver and food right now, I'm leaning to make sure I got enough food. Now, I'm all about silver. I think silver is going to get stupid along with gold. I think the stock market's stupid. It's up again now. If you know, what is today's date? It's the 15th, Wednesday, midday. You know, I don't even care what the stock market's saying now. I'm sure, you know, it's going to shoot up and down, this and that. It's going to take another big, giant dump. You know, we may play a segment, but, you know, it's all this financial stuff. I mean, you have somebody else telling you. Meredith Whitney, she's doing a great job out there, you know, really making sure people understand what's coming and why. We put this stuff up in Freedom Phoenix all the time. But if I had you listen to just a bunch of clips of somebody that said, I mean, really, you find 15 other clips that say the other thing. But the thing is that where are they getting their information? It's fundamentals. It's math. You know, this Mises Institute kind of Ron Paul Austrian economics thing, he's always screaming about Austrian economics, and it's math. It's, you know, let me tell you what happens. You do this, this happens. Math. Well, you can go so long until the house cards come falling in. Math. Math. Well, let me tell you what the math says. Math says you need to learn how to start producing your own food. That's what the value is. Or have stuff to buy it, but, you know, you're going to be spending all your silver and gold just to stay alive. You're better off to take the money as it's lower now and buy food. Do you have enough food? Are you able to produce your own food? Well, we did. is we started studying the chickens. We go down to, I started to tell you before, we would go down to these farmers markets and such, and you take classes, and you got, you know, the guy with the long dreadlocks and, you know, the hippy-dippy hairdo, and, you know, he's his Birkenstocks and everything, telling you, you know, how fun it is, and these are great people. Now, I've met so many great people that a lot of conservatives probably wouldn't even give the time of day of, but they are living a free life. They're just kind of, you know, they're not in your matrix. What they do is they give these classes, and me and some of my friends went, and then other friends went, and we showed other friends, and other friends were there before us, and you know, so it just kind of grew into a lot of us, found out how easy it is to raise chickens. Here in Phoenix, even in downtown, the way the law is, as I understand it, is if you're closer than 80 feet from somewhere, you got to get their permission. And other than that, you're good. Well, we put it in one corner. One guy might complain. We put it in the corner of the other neighbor, and they don't care. And you get rid of the roosters. Man, when they hit roosters, you know, you're done. They're gone. They're out later. All right? So then you have the chickens. They make a little bit of noise, especially when they're laying. So what happens is that you raise them. You get them when they're a day old. And you can even ship them as they're born, right when they're hatched. What they do is they put them in U.S. mail. They go, they overnight them, rush, boom. You know, I don't know how this works. Sort of my friends got, we went down to the local feed store. Our friends got them and actually came in the mail, opened up chickens. You know, day-old chickens, you know, you put them out there and you make sure they're warm enough. You have a little light, make sure they're warm. You get them food and water, and they take care of themselves. They, in about, oh, I think it was about 6 months or so, it wasn't very long, they, all of a sudden you start seeing eggs in there. You know, there's one egg, and there's two eggs. Now we're like up to, you know, five, six, we got six chickens now. We had 12 we started with, three became roosters, and they got taken back or somebody else took them. Then we had three that died. You know, it got hot, and we just didn't know how cool we have to keep them or how much air we got blown. I think the heat got them over time. And so now we kind of had a fence redone and a block put around so it was easier for us to put them in the backyard. And we have small, two little small dogs that can keep the cats away. So we're like, they got a symbiotic relationship. They like the dogs enough to keep them alive, all right? So they kind of run around the backyard a little bit, and little mister, and they're doing okay. You know, it's 115-degree weather here. You better have some mist and something. So what happens, these six chickens give us a half a dozen eggs every day. You know, there's nine. We're getting nine. We can't eat that much. We have, sir, all of us are trading eggs. You come down to the workshop here, you go in the refrigerator, there's eggs. People come in, nope, more eggs. You know, I have some young people and friends, they just want to eat better. They just, you know, we supply other people with eggs knowing that we're doing them, what, a generation favor. You know, decades of health by them at young age now getting some real nutrition and not getting sick. Not allowing all this other genetically modified blah, blah, blah to have an impact on them. So our immune systems are defending against this stuff. We're surviving. We're learning to have a freedom culture. And where we learn this from? Guys on the left, all the hippy-dippy weathermen, there will be some weather today. You know, then they're checking it for their chickens. Now, what happens is they have been sharing with us, knowing that this is a really good outreach for us, and we encourage them. So don't worry about who you learn this stuff from. Go learn it. And you go on the internet. And they have all kinds of plans for the kinds of different kind of coops you can do, too. And they call them little chicken tractors. And what it is, you put little wheels on them, and you move them around your yard, and they fertilize your yard as you move it around all the time. So your lawn's greener. You know, so there's so many benefits to this. And we go out, and sometimes we'll be talking, and we go into the garden, and we just graze. I like cherry tomatoes. You know, you go and you get some, you know, just picking broccoli right off of it. You know, blow it off, if even that, and you just pop it in your mouth. And lettuce, you know, the fresh, when it's baby lettuce, it just starts coming, yummy. This is what we are doing to plan for what's coming. You look on Discovery Channel, they have a thing, and I haven't even watched it. I've seen the trailers for it. The Colony. Be a fear. There was, yeah, and this is the premise. There was a, when the virus hit, everything stopped. So they have all these people that are now homeless, and they're going to try and create this colony and survive, and little, you know, things that they can do to, you know, live in their water world. like Kevin Costner's movie that he had. They're living out in, you know, the whole world got flooded, and they're all living in their little enclaves out on barges or whatever. Now, this kind of stuff are preparing us. You're being propagandized. You know, here it comes. Get ready. What are you going to do? I'm trying to encourage you because I know that we are really going to be going into a better time. We're going to put value on things that really have value. Relationships. You know, providing for our own sustenance in a healthy way. Nutrition. Our physical being, our bodies. And we're going to free the creativeness of our minds and get the man off of it. Now, I have always been of the opinion, if it wasn't for government, you know, we'd be the Jetsons right now. You know, we have coming up, I think it's this month, is the 40th anniversary of the moon landing. 40 freaking years later, where are we? We're not, really? Seriously? This is it, what we get in 40 years? I grew up on Star Trek. You know, I'm a young kid. That was the first thing my dad and I, it was Wild Wild West and Star Trek. You know, and that's it. Me and dad, man, we're bonding. You know, Wild Wild West and Star Trek, yeehaw. And, you know, and so many technological advances have been as an inspiration to that. They did a special on it on the History Channel or something, talking about all the things that prompted people to do different stuff. The main thing is you look at just the techno gadgets we got now. We've exceeded them in a lot of areas. You know, Spock comes out with his big cards, and we're going, ha! You know, hey, the old-timey guy, they're a lot smaller than that. So we are looking into the future, and it's bright, but there's something in the way. And you'll sit there and you think, is it government? It's not so much government as it is our concept of what we need for a government, or that we'd even need a government. You know, what is it that we need? You know, Declaration of Independence is very clear. You know, the only purpose of any kind of collective force is the defense of individual rights, to protect that. When you get outside of that, and they'll try and make an argument for going and laying waste to some country. Now, when the war first started, I was producing for Charles Goyette. You hear his voice on some of the rejoiners and so on. He's a very popular talk show host here in Arizona, and he has a new book coming out in October called The Dollar Meltdown, published by Portfolio, the business section of Penguin Publishing. He's been working on that for the past year, and we've been doing shows for years on predicting this. We'd have guys, you know, Jim Rogers came on every week, the billionaire biker. Every Wednesday, he was on the show. Then we had, you know, Peter Schiff, Ron Paul, Miss Shedlock, you know, Addison Wiggins from, you know, him and Bill Bonner wrote the book Empire of Debt. You know, Addison Wiggins would be on regularly. We had all these guys, and what we did is we were just saying, look, here it comes. Have you ever even heard of derivatives? Do you even know what it means? Do you know how this entire thing is going to implode from subprime? You know, it's math. So we're sharing this with people, trying to get them, you know, up to speed on what's happening, and, you know, where are we now? What is it that we were able to accomplish? You know, how seriously are we taken when you do these things? Because what we're asking for is for you to understand that this entire thing, this fabric that they have out there saying where you should put your money and what it does, is just, it's part of a system that you're begging for. You're asking for these kinds of controls. You're asking, you know, pension plans. You have these enormous amounts of money. And I know people will talk about, you know, the CAFR, you know, the off books, the real books, because we went through that too. And, yeah, it exists. You know, and, you know, you want to be in control of it now, or you just want them to stop taking your money? Let's say you're a government employee in California right now. What's your pension worth? What'd they do with it? How they did this is they would say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take all this money, and we're going to invest it in this over here, whatever it is. We just made up this thing. When they do that, they have to have, by law, they would have to have some kind of rating. Oh, we need somebody to give us a AAA rating. A AAA rating, who gives AAA booties? Here, over here, give us a AAA rating. All right, got a AAA rating, now you can buy. Okay, cool, here it is. They put gazillions of dollars in there, and then they did what with it? So Moody's, you know, and it's kind of sensitive to me because my my brother-in-law is one of the guys that does the ratings at Moody's. I mean, he was standing there when the second plane hit the World Trade Center. He walked out. Oh, I'm done. I'm gone. Boom. He books it. Goes gets his wife, which was an editor at Newsweek. Now, so these guys are deep in the system. So you can imagine the conversations that we have. And I'm going, you know, how do you get these ratings? Where does this come from? Well, reports. You know, from I remember in the 90s, you know, late 90s, they're talking, and I go, how do you make these kind of valuations? This is not, you know, and he goes, well, we use the information that we get from all these various sources. Like, he goes, well, the government. And I'm like, oh, well heck, I'll be for true then. You know, he goes, well, there's other stuff. Like, and then he actually said this right before they got nailed. He goes, Arthur Anderson, they're private. And then they take a dump. So I'm just going, you know, you're killing me. And what happens is that's how they think. They think there are dials in this economy that you can turn. Well, if we just raise interest rate up here, we increase the money supply there, we reduce this, we do that, we can control all this. We can manage this economy. But the people, one, you can never do that because the people that are doing it always do it for their own ends. The free market determines what the price is, and that's what's coming. They're going to have, you know, the minimum wage. That's what that is. You're going to start having more controls put on this. It's another thing I encourage you to read, Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand's book. I mean, it's a read, but it's very instructive on the mentality behind this kind of stuff, that you think you can socially and economically engineer a population. You can't. So I want you to start thinking about how you can take care of yourself and survive this thing on the other side, and stop worrying about you getting your turn or your guy's turn at the lever of power. It's not about that. It's about you not being controlled, not controlling somebody else. Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Do you know me? I'm the driving rain.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the RBN Network. You know, one thing I wanted to take in this last segment is just to let you know what we're doing. You know, this week we're getting everything all set up. We're introducing ourselves. We're, you know, being all trained. A lot of us are just volunteer activists. You know, we built these studios for us to be able to. We have a lot of guys have talents, and we have experience in radio and stuff. But, you know, we didn't have experience in building them from scratch, you know, with a hammer. I mean, first off, you start with a hammer, you know, then it gets up to the little technical stuff. And we've done it over months. We just keep expanding. We have a video studio here. We have an activist center. A lot of people excited and so on. Some of them have come in here. It's kind of late to introduce them to you. We'll see if we can do that here in the next couple of days for the end of the week. Because next week, we're going to start bringing in guests. I want you to start, you know, the expansion of this is much larger movement than I think many people realize. It's much more mature than I think you realize. It's been supported a lot more than I think you realize, to the tune of, you know, substantial amount of resources, because there are a lot of people out there that if they know what's coming and they know what's going to happen, they can make a lot of money off of it. You know, conquer the crash. You know, you have some people out there that have, they're so certain of what's happening that they put their money where their mouth is. And they'll make it. You have Jim Rogers right now, we used to have regularly on Charles' show. He was constantly saying what was going to. He was talking about Freddie and Fannie probably a year and a half, 2 years before they really became, masses became aware of what they were doing. Because he goes, look, man, they're gone. They stopped filing their quarterly reports. And you just stop. You know, we're not doing it anymore. You know, you think something's going to happen. You know, and it's kind of this, you know, quasi-government thing anyway. Who's going to get in trouble to who? You know, this is what happens when you have this kind of, you know, kleptocracy, when you have this big government. You know, when the government's in charge of everything, who do you go blame? You know, go get him. You know, it's the same guys. So and now he's saying commodities, agriculture. Doug Casey, very influential, very successful investor. You know, a lot of people, they pay tens of thousands of dollars just to get his newsletter. He was at the Freedom Fest. We were talking to him and some of the other great minds there, and he's going, He's spoken at the Freedom Summit before. And he was saying, oh, God, it was like over a year ago, almost 2 years ago, he was saying that he was buying lots of land for beef cattle. He knew that there was going to be food shortages. There were going to be food riots. So what is he to go buy some stock? No, 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 no. He goes out and he buys the land and the cattle. He goes and gets this land and just start, you know, going the Lone Prairie. There we go. I'm going to be good. At least he's going to be eating well. And he knows that he's going to be making a bunch of money on that. Jim Rogers, what does he say, do? You know, buy agriculture. You know, what's happened over the past decades has been, that's why Willie Nelson is doing concerts to save the farms, because they got you these small farmers to go into enormous debt. And then you fluctuate the price of corn down, up. They go in foreclosure. They financially generational farms that all of a sudden get bought up into the large corporations. Wow. You know, we are in an interesting time. You know, Claire Wolfe, she wrote a book, 101 Things to Do Till the Revolution. And then there in the mid-90s, there was a popular saying that said, we're at that awkward time in American history. It's too late to work within the system. But it's maybe too early to shoot the bastards. No, it's too early to shoot the bastards. It's too late to work within the system. But you get the idea. And the thing is that there's subsequent musings of different people. Now, maybe it's eking up on that time, but who would you go after? The first thing is you have to go after yourself. You have to understand. Quit begging for the cage. Free yourself. Declare your independence. We'll see you again tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central Time here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock.